Praise the Lord. So you guys aren't standing forever, I'm going to do this. I'm going to switch this just a smidget, right? And I'm going to go straight into the scripture, okay? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that first. Sorry. Okay. You guys can sit for a minute, okay? Tonight, I'm going to do some things differently. And I'm doing them differently because we have a pastor named Pastor Marquise. And I was leaving a couple of weeks ago, and he stopped me. He caught me before I got to my car. And he said, this is how I write a lesson. And this is the format you use. And this is what you do. And this is how you do it. And the whole time I was standing there like this. Like, that is good for you. But when I left, God said it's also good for you. And so I'm going to do it as God has shown me to do it. And I'm not even nervous, so I know that it's all him because he just keeps coming around and around and around and around confirming this is what I'm going to do, right? So when Pastor Marquise did that, I was very uncomfortable because we're always uncomfortable when we have to go to new places because new places stretch you. New places make you grow. New places make you get real active real quick, even when you don't want to be active. That's what happens when God is really stretching you, and he's bringing you into your purpose, and he's bringing you into places that you really haven't ventured into before. And so tonight I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to go into the scripture. And really I want you guys to agree with me because the truth of it is, I don't even want you to see me today. I want you to see God. I want you to hear God. But I don't want you to just see and hear God. I want us to be active in what God is saying. I want it to penetrate your heart like it's never penetrated your heart before. I want it to really resonate. I want some old stuff to come out so we can become new. I really want that. And what I'm doing right now, this is my newness, right? This is my newness. This is uncomfortable, but it's my newness. And I've agreed 1,000% with God, whatever you want, however you want to do it, wherever you place me, I'm with it. I'm with it, 100,000%. I'm with it. And I really feel like he gave me this word because there's some places in us and we don't know how to move forward. And I really believe that this word, if you let it penetrate your heart, it's really going to set you free. Amen, amen. I'm going to mention one more thing. Before I got to this day, I said, Lord, I want everybody that's supposed to be in the room to be in the room. And as I saw people, and as I saw people come into the room, first I was really happy to see 6 people like, praise the Lord, it's going to be easy. But when I saw more people after our worship, I said, you have exactly the audience that you want for this word. So I don't want you to be hearers. I want you to be doers, and I want it to penetrate your heart because it's important. It's important for the body, but it's important for each and every one of us. Okay? Jesus, I come before you right now, Lord Jesus, asking that you totally decrease me. That you would go, go before every person that you chose to be here on this night. Go before them, penetrating their hearts, their minds, their spirit, creating a newness, taking away everything that's not intended that we may truly walk in freedom and liberty and walk into our purpose. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. the name of my lesson is One of Them 12. I am going to, you guys could stand now, because I know it's the formal thing to do, even though I'm not really formal. So we're going to read from Numbers 13 and 30. Numbers 13 and 30. Amen. I'm going to give the whole room time. You won. You won, girl. You won. Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it." You may be seated. Man, I spilled my water. Okay, so in this story of Caleb, I think most of us know it, but I'm really going to break down the story, because I think sometimes we teach and we think everybody understands the story. But it's going to be in a very different way, right? Because this story talks about the 12 spies being sent out by Moses to explore the promised land, and why only two people reported favorably about the land's abundance, and that was Caleb and Joshua. The others expressed fear due to the strength of its inhabitations and the perceived challenges. So about 3 weeks ago, we were in ladies' fellowship, and I did get permission before I did this, but we were in ladies' fellowship, and Rochelle comes to our ladies' fellowship, and some of us know her, and some of you might not, but Rochelle started getting all up in my lesson. So Rochelle was talking, and I was in Rochelle's face like this, right? Because it was the lesson that God gave me, and it was the words that he gave me. And I'm looking like, this is die, right? Because I've never seen that done. Like, I see something come in, and it has the same flow. But, like, she's literally in my lesson. Like, she's literally in my lesson. So at the end of Ladies Fellowship, God laid on my heart to reach out to her and asked her to write it, because that particular ladies' fellowship, she didn't have a lesson. I mean, she didn't write journal. She didn't journal her lesson. But she spoke from her heart. And so I'm like, can you run that back? Like, can you put it in writing? And can I use it for the church? And she was like, yeah. And so I explained what was going on and that God had given me the same lesson that he gave her to teach to the body. And I'm going to read her words verbatimly. But the gist of her lessons is this. The gist of her lesson is she had a lot of unmet expectations from God. And she was trying to go to the next place. And she was trying to progress forward. But she couldn't. And a year prior to, this is what she wrote. Last year, I was studying my word in Numbers about the children of Israel going into the promised land. The story, as we all know, it starts where the people of Israel left Egypt for the promised land. After the Lord set them free and provided for them by opening the Red Sea, manna and quail, they finally get to the promised land. Before they go in, they have to survey the land. Moses sends 12 spies, one from each tribe, to go spy on the land and come back with a report. But only Caleb and Joshua had a positive report. Though the other spies confirmed that the land indeed flowed with milk and honey, as the Lord had said, and they emphasized that the people that were there were stronger and powerful, saying, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We seem like little grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." In the next chapter, she read, that the 10 other spies standing on the bad report and telling the people about it, and they started grumbling and complaining against the Lord. Why is the Lord bringing us to a land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken. I'm going to run that back. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Joshua and Caleb insisted that with the Lord's approval, he would lead them and protect them. But the people rebelled and continued not to trust the Lord or his word. The rebellion here was not trusting and believing that the Lord could and would save and lead them to the promised land. Finally, the Lord speaks to Moses and he declares that because the Israelites grumbled against him and treated him with contempt, that they would not go into the promised land and actually remain where they were for 40 years because they had grumbled against him and did not trust him. Rochelle went on to say, this is the revelation that God gave me. God wanted to take me to new places as he had promised me. I'm not sure what is on the other side, but the Lord requires trust, obedience, and surrender. Therefore, Egypt can't be the things that I go back to. Egypt in her life represents her old ways, her own mindsets, and her old ways of dealing with things, and her lack of trust in God. She said, I cannot get to my promised land with the Egypt mindset or attitude. This journey was supposed to take them 11 days, but they remained in the wilderness for 40 years. The generation that did not believe the Lord, they had to die in the wilderness. I'm going to stop there, and she has more, and I am going to share more. But I want to go into our old mindsets, and I want to go into our old ways, and I want to go into our old thinking, because I feel like God is really saying that's what has us trapped. We're really standing in a place of stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck because we keep looking back. We keep reaching back. We keep thinking something behind is going to fix us today. And it's such a lie from hell. It's a lie. But this is what we do. I'm broken in this piece, and I remember when I was six, when this person did this to me, and now I have to go back because I have to heal from it. And it's not the truth. It's not the truth. Because old things are passed away. But if we don't allow our mind to let the old things pass away, we stay there. Let me give you an example. When I was divorced, it was a really rough situation. And most of you guys really know the full testimony, and I'm not going to go into that tonight. But if I run back to my testimony of my marriage and my divorce and how broken I was and how isolated I was and how my self-esteem was broke, I would never be up here today. I would not. That's my Egypt, right? And I'm not saying that there wasn't a process, but if you're going and revisiting everything that happened to you all of your life and you can't get past that, because I remember when such and such said this to me and that really hurt me and that's what messed me up for today, you're calling God a liar. And I'm saying you're calling God a liar because he said, don't go back to the former things. That's what the word says. Don't go back. But this is what we do. We say, this has broke me, and I still hurt. My family has hurt me. My kids have hurt me. Children, you say your parents have hurt you. You did not raise me the way I think you were supposed to. And there are unmet expectations that you had on somebody else. And what we do, and I'm going to kind of use Jonathan's lesson, is we put that bag on our back, and we try to get up a mountain that God has intended us to climb, and we can't get up the mountain because we have too much that we're carrying because we keep going like this. It's not God's will to go like this. So hopefully in this lesson, what I'm really going to teach is how you go this way instead of look at this way. Because I could tell you a zillion stories, and everybody in this room can give a testimony, and their testimony is worse than your testimony, or your testimony is the worst because you went through it and you experienced that hurt. right? Everybody in the room has a testimony. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody's been through something. Everybody's been bruised. Everybody's been wounded. Everybody had dysfunctional families. Everybody has had a story to tell. The problem is the story that we're telling is not a testimony. When we go to our past, we bring our testimony, how we overcame that situation. Not that we're still living there. That's bondage. That's bondage. And we don't recognize our bondage, right? We have stories like, I grew up in the church all my life and I can't move forward. You can't move forward because you're looking back. Nothing behind you can carry you forward. Only God can carry you forward. Only God, right? So I have a zillion stories to tell, right? And we know that I'm truly an open book because, okay, my truth, I don't really care what you think, right? Because when I started writing my story, I didn't know how that story was going to end. But when God started writing my story, I know how my story is going to end. So I'm not ashamed of anything that I've been through. I'm not ashamed of my errors. I'm not ashamed of my Egypt. But I can come to you and I can give you the testimony of my Egypt because I am not bound by it. Amen. We have to get to a mindset. We have to change old thinking or we'll never grow up. We'll spend our eternity and get to a promised land, sit there for 40 years, and our kids would die with us. That's what that says. That's what it says. They died in the wilderness, and their children died in the wilderness with them. The 10 of them. The 10, right? They died there because they wouldn't let things go. We go back to stories, and we say, "When this is a story that I've shared a lot of times. I'm going to share it again, okay? When I was younger, in fourth grade, they said I was dyslexic, right? From fourth grade to about, I'm guessing, okay, to about 46, I considered myself stupid. And what I did is I said, my dad used to call me stupid. And people used to belittle me. And if I couldn't read things, I was ashamed. And I was embarrassed by that. And I held it like this for 46 years. In fourth grade, this happened. And I carried it. And I carried it like this. And I carried that bondage, and I walked in that bondage until God. I went before God, and I said, this is not who you created me to be. But I don't know the workaround. That's my truth. I don't know the workaround. Like, for real, I really can't spell that word. Like, what do you want me to do, right? That's my truth. But the truth is, he got spell check. What are we talking about? There's ways around stuff, but we don't want to take the ways around stuff. We don't want to go to our Father and say, I don't know how to do this. I do not know how to break this hurt. I do not know how to let this go. I don't know how to surrender it to you. And you can't go one time. You can't go one time. You got to keep petitioning until you're free. And just like I told Sister Brooke weeks ago, you worship. That's right. That's God gave us a whole tool belt of every tool we can use to be free. That's right. Every tool. God has spoke to the body a zillion times. A zillion times. You have everything you need.
That's right. That's right.
But you have everything you need.
That's right.
And we go like this. I have everything I need, but I don't have healing. But I'm not set free. But I'm still looking back. I'm still looking. I can use my mom, right? Because when my mom passed away, this is exactly true story. Brother Murray was sitting on the porch and he said, Sister, it's okay to cry. And I said, can't really cry yet. Right? Because I'm processing this. Now I can rest 2 years ago when my mom passed, and I could believe the world that says, you will forever hurt. You will have so much sorrow. You will never let it go. You will stay there for life. I mean, I heard it a million times over, and that's not my story. I'm free, and I have liberty. And do I miss my mom? Absolutely. Yes, I miss my mom. Do I love her? Yes. Can I talk about my mom without crying now? Yes. You know why? You know why for real? Because when my mom passed away, this is what I said. Lord, I remember being depressed. And I really felt like at the time that I was depressed, I didn't have an option. I would just wake up and be that way. But I have an option now because I know the truth. And so I got in my Father's face and I said, Lord, do not let me rest in sorrow. Do not. Do not. That's not your promise for me. Do not let me live here. And he hasn't allowed me to live there. And I had to go back to some scriptures because the first 6 months, it was rough, right? Because that's grief. That's grief. Like, ow, you pulled something out of me. A piece is missing, right? That's grief. And I get grief. And I wasn't afraid to cry. And I let my emotions come out. But what I wasn't going to do is go back to my Egypt and rest in depression because my mom is no longer here. Because when my mom was here, she gave me an inheritance to move forward. And her greatest desire was revival. And she deposited that in me. And because I have that in me, I can carry her inheritance and I can see it come to pass. So I don't have to rest in sorrow because she already gave me peace. I don't have to rest, right? When we don't have answers to situations, we hold on to our Egypt. Let me help you, okay? This is for everybody, okay? Your answer is Jesus. Amen. Your answer is to worship. When y'all see me in the corner, there was about 2 years that I really like my lustful sin. That's my truth, right? And I stood in that corner. And every single time I came to church, I said, I don't know how to let this go because I like it. That's my truth. Because I'm really real with God because he's really real with me. And I said, I need you to intervene. I need you to intercede on my behalf. I don't need everybody telling me what to do because right here is where I get my deliverance. And true story, right where Yolanda is standing, I was standing there and I looked at Pastor Marquise and Sister Jay and I said, I'm ready to be free. I didn't have to go back and say, when I was 5 years old, I remember looking at the TV and I was watching inappropriate things. I didn't have to do that. Wherever it came from, it didn't matter. What mattered is I knew who to run to set me free. And did it take a moment to change my mindset? You better believe it took a moment. It took a lot of worshiping. It took a lot of worshiping. That's my truth, right? Right. That's my truth. And I don't sit and act like I don't have any issues or I don't have any sin or I don't have any bondage, but I don't live in my Egypt, right? Because nothing can have me bound unless I allow it to bound me. So for Jonathan's lesson, a segue, I'm up the hill. I'm up the hill. You know why? Because I don't even care if I see it manifest yet. I already believe he did it. I'm up that hill. I'm up the hill. I'm already set free. But we go like this. I'm going to set it free for a minute. Then I'm going to walk away. And then really quick, I remember when. Everything is behind us. It's not God's intent. It's not God's intent to go back how your mom raised you, how your daddy raised you, what your uncle did to you, how your cousin touched you. I'm not saying it's your fault, but I'm saying you could be free. But you got to run to your maker to be free. You got to run to your maker. You have to be upright before him. And guess who makes you upright? Him. Him. Another thing I want to address is this, okay? Because this was really heavy on my heart. I fasted a couple weeks ago. And I'm telling you, I do a three-day fast an awful lot, right? This three-day fast was the pits. Do you hear me? I was like, I'm going to literally die. Huh, Steve? I was sleeping like 14 hours. I was like, what is going on? Like, I couldn't wake up. I had no energy. Like, it was trying to get me. It was the worst fast I ever did. That's my truth. But it was for so much purpose. Amen. Because it's to set some things free. Amen. It's to set some things free. Amen. But in our tool belt, this is what happens. We don't use our tools, right? And, you know, I know sometimes you guys here, Stephanie, sometimes you guys here, you guys are lazy. And y'all feel some kind of way, like, why they calling me lazy? Let me tell you why. Because prayer is free. It don't cost us nothing but time, right? And we won't make time for God. We live by chance, or we live by prayer requests, and that's not an option. Because you can't be free unless you're building a relationship
and a connection with
God. But we don't want to do that because, you know what, that's work. That's work. So I'm going to call Brooke, and I'm going to say, Brooke, can you pray about this? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Most of us are very mature in the body. We are. That's the truth. We're mature. We know better. We don't do better. We're not seeking. We're not looking for the answer. We want it to fall on us. And it's not going to fall. And let me tell you that this is tested and true, okay? Because if you're in the same predicament and you do not have a prayer life, a consistent prayer life, or you only pray when you need them, you're stuck somewhere in your life. And you can admit to being stuck. It's because you're not faithful to God, and he's real, real faithful to you. Because he wakes you up every day and gives you another opportunity to get it right. That's the truth. It works. Okay. So God gave us all these tools, and we refuse to use the tools. And that's a horrible situation, right? Because we make excuses. And Brother Jason Hill was teaching like a month ago. And I'm telling you, when he said our best excuses, and the whole room laughed, it pierced my heart. You know why it pierced our heart? Because that's half of our excuses. I don't have time to pray. I got to do this. I'm going to say this as nice as I can. Prayer is free. Prayer is free. Prayer is what rules your relationship with God. And a lot of us have our heart's desires. And we want all this stuff. But when you don't pray to God, you're not going to get that stuff. You're not, because you have to have this relationship together. You don't have to be perfect with this relationship, but this relationship has to be in order. You cannot have a husband, ladies, if this is not your husband's first. You cannot have a wife if this is not the center. You cannot provide for a family if he's not the provider. Like, it's like a no-brainer, but we act like we're oblivious. And I know people hate when you put it all for everybody. Everybody's doing this. Take what you will with what you know you're doing, okay? Like for real, because I know people have been offended by how I speak and the stuff I deliver, but I need to be 100% real. Because these messages coming out here lately, they real, real. They real, real. You know why they're real, real? Because God's trying to set the captives free. That's why it's really real. And when God is starting to lead, you just follow his lead, because he's trying to set us free. Because you don't have to visit back there. You just got to go ahead. I'm an open book. I'll tell you anything in this world, and I don't care what you think. I don't, because I have a real life, and I'm a real person, and I didn't fall from heaven. I did not. I'm trying to get there. So I go through real stuff like everybody else goes through, and I'm not ashamed of any of it. Because I'll fight that battle.
That's right.
But I'll fight the battle with the Lord. And I have an active prayer life. And I fast regularly.
Right.
And I stay in God's face until he sets me free.
Right.
Because nothing behind me can have me trapped for today. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. And I'm not taking a 40-year route.
Right.
I'm not. And check this out. Because I want to add one more thing. And my kids, they're not staying either. They're not. They're my inheritance. And if that means I got to get up every single day and pray to make sure they stay with the arrow, John, they're going to stay with the arrow because they're going to hit the target. I promise you that. You know why? Because I serve a God that hears my petition. And there's not one prayer that I've ever prayed in my life that did not come to pass. And that's a true story. It's a true story. Getting back to Rochelle. Sorry. That was a lot. I'm not really sorry. You know, it's a figure of speech. I ain't sorry about none of this. Okay, really quick. The second revelation she had, she got it from the book of Joshua in 5:8. You guys could write it down because I'm not reading all the scripture, right? Oh, yes, I am. Finally, the Israelites, then Joshua and Caleb's generation, the ones who believe, get to the point where they are about to finish crossing the Jordan River. The Lord asked Joshua to choose 12 men from each tribe to get them circumcised. Circumcision was a display of a covenant the Lord had with his children. That's what set them apart from other people and the kingdoms. The verse that God highlighted for her was Joshua 5:8. When they had completed the circumcision of the whole nation, they stayed where they were in the camp until they were healed. That's tight. I'm going to break it down. Don't trip. I'm simple. I'm going to break it down. She goes on to say, so that's when I encountered people in my promised land. I could be a reflection of who he is, his love, his spirit, not my insecurities, not my woundedness, not my fears, and all my et ceteras. But as the circumcision process is happening, which is the cut in my flesh, you know that pain you feel when God's stretching you to death? That's it. She said, right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I have to remain in the camp. There is no escape from the camp. Like, you don't get to take a detour.
That's right.
You don't get to say, let me go to the right quick so I can skip this one. You don't get to do it. You do not get to run from it. You're going to have to go through the process, and it hurts. To heal hurts, because you're going to have to relinquish some stuff in you, and you're going to have to be real transparent. And it's hard for people to be transparent, because y'all be worried about what people think. That's the truth. You're so busy worried about somebody. So here, let me squash all of this really, really quick for everybody. You better care what God thinks. You better care what God thinks. I've seen people fall from their shame. I've seen people fall and cannot get up from their shame. That's why I'm an open book, because that's my testimony. I watched somebody fall, and when I saw them fall like that, I said, never. Yes. Never, ever. So I'll tell it all. The ugly, the good, the bad, the sorrowful, I don't care what it is. I hold nothing back. Nothing. And that's why I stay free. That's why I stay free. She said, I have to remain in the camp until I am healed. The camp is, to me, it represents ladies' fellowship. I'm going to add men's fellowship. My church, my stand surroundings by other circumcised people. Wow. That way, when I am healed, listen, when I am healed, I can move forward in victory. I can move forward in victory. I'm not asking y'all to raise your hand. But I am going to say this, and I know y'all hear it a lot, but I'm going to say it again, okay? Why don't we have fruit? Because we look at Egypt. We don't have fruit because we refuse to be healed. We keep on going to our old mindset, and it's not working. It's not working, even to the point of this. I've been in church 20-something years, right? Now, it's not as long as the Murrays. But I've been in church 20-something years. And here's the God honest truth behind that, okay? I really, really have a lot of stories to tell. And I've got cut a lot, right? And so, when I come to Andrew, and I'm witnessing to Andrew, because Andrew's soul is important to me, a lot of times I'll share my testimony. But where we make error, listen very closely. Where we make error is telling Andrew he has to do it like you do. You don't got to do it like me. You got to do it like God says you got to do it. But that's what we do. We've visited places in our walks, and we're like, this is what worked for us. So you try it now. You can't walk it out like I walked it out. You not me. You not. You're going to have to walk it out how God deems you walk it out. My testimony was for me to overcome. It's to share with you so you have hope. But it is not your guidance and direction to follow my lead of how I got out. I'm not you. I'm not you. So I can't speak into everybody's life telling you, you take step one, step two, step three, step four, and then you hit the right on the side and you're free. I cannot do that. God does that. God gives you order. God steps out your steps. God plans it out. God delivers. God sets free. That's what God does. I can't do that for you. But I tell you what I can do. I can stand in the gap. And I am faithful. No lie. I'm faithful to stand in the gap and pray. I'm faithful. That is my duty. That is my job. And it's not even effort. Because I love prayer to death. Because that's what sustained me. So I have no problem standing in the gap. I do have a problem that we think we have answers to everybody's problem. We do not have the answer. We have the testimony to tell you that it can be done, but we don't have a step-by-step playbook. That's why it's important for you to have a prayer life. It's important. It's important for you to, for real, know how to get into worship. It's that place. It's that place. I've been saying it for years. It's my place. I don't run to people and say, can you set me free? Because no, I stand and I worship and I pray and I believe God for everything he's doing because he ain't never lied. Amen. He ain't never lied. He's never failed me. He never let me fall. And I went through some hurt trying to get free, but he set me free. So I'll take the cut because with the cut, I can walk in peace. That's the truth. The other thing I just want to bring up and then, yeah, I'm almost done. The other thing I want to bring up is this. Ladies fellowship, men fellowship. I know y'all be sick of hearing about it. But I want to say this. I'm grateful for the bulk of us being in unity and coming and being vulnerable, right? I'm really, honest to God, I'm grateful. But it's a disservice if we don't do it like God has asked us, right? We create an Egypt when we don't follow direction, right? We make that lap like this, like 20,000 times, because we're not following direction. He's given direction. So I'm gonna put direction out there. And for real, my prayer for this message is that it penetrates your heart, that it convicts you. That for real, you keep hearing my voice in your head, and God convicts you so much that you just do it. Be consistent. You need accountability. Amen. If we didn't need accountability, God wouldn't have said it. That's right. The second part of it is this, okay? You cannot learn if you are not writing it down. And I'm not saying you got to write a novel. I'm not a novel writer. That's not what I do. But every single day, I've made it a point for the last year and a half to sit down, not talk to anyone, disconnect and go through my day and ask God what I'm learning. And what it has done is it has produced great fruit within me. It has produced something in me. That's why you see this version of Don, because I'm allowing him to do what he wants to do. And I could be honest, it hurts. It hurts. Sometimes it hurts. This month, I'm working on God's will. I think I've been working on it for a long time. And I'm all right with that, right? Because the promise that God gave me was, it's not what you'll do, it's who you'll be. So if I have to do it for 6 months, I'm with it, right? Because my goal is to wake up in his likeness and be like him. So if it takes me 6 months for real to get it right, and you got to take me all these places, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it because I want to be whatever you want me to be whenever you want me to be it. And I want to be who I am, and I don't want to struggle to do it. And in the beginning, it was a struggle because that wasn't my routine. Like, what are we talking about? This is all brand new. It's really stretching. You want me to be intentional all of a sudden. I thought I already was. And now you're teaching me tips and tricks. And now I got to be super intentional, right? It's not in my comfort zone, for real, to be blunt. When I deliver a word, I try to deliver it softly. You know why? So I want you to receive this word because I want it to penetrate your life. And God, in God's will, he's real forward. And he'd be giving me words. I'd be like, for real, you want me to say it like that? That is not my personality, huh, Stephanie? That's not us. That ain't how we get down. Give it to Jalen. Real talk. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because I don't want to hurt you, because in my Egypt, I bruised some people. I bruised some people by my forwardness, right? But I have to let go of my Egypt. Because if God gives me a harsh word, I'm going to give that harsh word right to you. And what you do, and this is what God said, real talk. I said, Lord, like, I'm trying, but it's really uncomfortable to deliver it this harsh. And you know what he said? They ain't going to understand it, and I know their heart. So who are you to change what I said to do? Then the other thing God said is this. Celeste is my witness. Because she got me right when I got this word. And God said, my will is that you will. I said, Celeste, this is a parable. My will is that you will. But every time I repeated it, I cried. And I cried. And I cried. Not because I'm not going to do it. But my will is that I would do his will. That's my heart. Like, that's what I want to be. But I don't know how to do that. But lo and behold, he's teaching me. And that's a lot. And every single week, my status update is, hips downright uncomfortable. Sure am grateful to be going through this. Man, it kind of hurt this week. And I'm trying to really pay attention because I want to be in God's will. But God's will is a lot. It's a lot. It is. When you're doing it in your own will. So God had to teach me that. Quit trying to do it in your own strength. I taught you about connecting to the Spirit. Just stay in spirit. Yeah, it's a full-time job being in the Spirit 24-7. Like, no lie, it's like interceding. It's a whole full-time job. It's a lot, right? But I'm all right with that. Because I just want to be what you called me to be. That's it. No more excuses. No more disobedience. We need to be doing 30 days a year. We need to be journaling every single day. Right. We need to know what God is doing, or you cannot learn. You're not adding tools to your tool belt if you get to ladies fellowship or men's fellowship, or don't get to men's fellowship or ladies fellowship, and you stand your status check up and you go, I'm doing good. Nobody knows how to pray for you doing good. Nobody does. It takes away from the effect of what he's doing. He's equipping us, and we're going, no, thank you. And then we're going, can you pray for me? And he's building. Every month, he's building something new. And even if it's in the same vein for months, he's building something new. Allow him to do it. Because in the end, this is the truth. You'll get to the promised land. He's trying to heal you. You won't be healed, and you'll die there. Because you didn't allow him to process what he's processing. You should have growth. You should have gain. That's right. You should be going to God with old mindsets like, I don't know how to do this. This is really driving me crazy. This is difficult. It's difficult for everybody. There's no one exempt. Like, this is a lot. Like, what are we talking about? For everyone. You're not by yourself. That's why he put us all together on this journey, so we can help one another go through. But you got to follow the plan. You can't keep doing it your way. You can't keep making those best excuses that JZO was talking about. There are no excuses, because he's equipping you for whatever's going to come your way that you can't even see, but he knows it's coming. I'm going to close this in a minute. Okay, so I named this lesson 1 out of 12. And I know y'all are probably sitting here looking like, 1 out of 12? Yeah, 1 out of 12. And I'm talking about Caleb. Let me tell you why I'm talking about Caleb. Because I looked up Joshua. And this is my remix, because y'all know I always give a remix. I'm going to give y'all a quick remix of the story, right? When they went to the promised land to go get healed, right? And they walked out there. When they was coming back, in my head, this is not written. This is my story, my remix. Okay? So y'all don't go tell people this story. Okay. So they walking, and Caleb and Joshua, they meet up. Now, Joshua was excited about the milk and honey. He was. He was like, "Shoo, yeah, let's go get the milk and honey," right? But Caleb already agreed before he even went. This is how I know. Because if you look up Caleb, he said, God gives a scripture that he was holy, not H-O-L-Y. He was W-H-O-L-L-Y. He was holy. He was complete. He was, everything in him was there. I want to be like Caleb. I want to be all in for God, right? Because everything opens when you're all in. We're making it difficult because we're like this. I'm going to leave 1 foot in Egypt. I'm going to put 1 foot in front of me, and I'm going to see if I can keep my balance. You can't. But Caleb was holy. And in Joshua 14:8, it says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." These are the words of Caleb. And he brought the good report. So in my mind, because you know, I have a good imagination. When Caleb went, he already knew. Because God already said, he didn't have to see the milk and honey. He did it in faith. He did it in faith. He just said, God said, let me go do it. It's kind of like revival. God said I was in revival. I'm in revival.
Right.
On my good days, my bad days, it does not stop. I'm in revival. And I'm not going to come out of revival because the truth be told, I like it here. I like it here. I've had more peace in my life in the worst situations, more burdens in my life that I just be like, that's yours. It's a freedom. It's a liberty to be in revival. And we act like it's a punishment or a chore to get to revival. But he's building to bring us. It's time to be there.
Amen.
So with Caleb wholly seeking the Lord, it means following the Lord, knowing God's word and desire and his desire, and not being afraid to follow it or rebelling against God's commandment. Sometimes we talk and we go, "The youth, I really want you to listen to this." No, everybody in the room, I really want you to listen to this. Follow God's direction in totality, not in pieces. Because you can get one step and miss five other steps and you ain't going nowhere. You're still in the same position. You're still in the same position because you're choosing. Because God is active. This walk is active. It's motion. It moves. It brings fruit. It brings life. It brings the multitudes. It does that. It sets the captives free. It does everything we need it to do. And we're not there. That's how I know we're not doing it. Because we're not there. And we should be there. We must follow God regardless of duration, how long it takes. They're searching. People leaving and you got to do it alone. That's how this walk. I mean, God will take you to a wilderness and live there until you decide that you want to make him your friend. You'll be like, "I just need a friend." He's like, "I am. I just need a friend. I am. I just need a friend. I'm so lonely here." He's here. You're not lonely when you realize he's your God. You're never, ever lonely. And I had to learn that walking through my journey, that I'm not alone. The world teaches you you have to have a mate. I am perfectly fine in my singleness. Man, I love this. Man, I love this, because God could tell me to do something, and I'd be like, "I submit." I'd be like, "Ooh, I want that, Lord." He'd be like, "Go get it, baby girl." He's my husband. He's my everything, right? So now he could set me in a position if he deemed necessary. And I got to watch my mouth.
I saw you look up.
But at the moment, that's my heart. Real talk. truth is, whatever God has for me, I want what God has for me. And I want to connect to his will because I want to completely walk this journey out with him in fullness. I want to be like Caleb. I want to wholly serve the Lord with everything in me. Because when you're there, you're free.
That's right.
When you're there, you're free. I know what freedom feels like. It doesn't mean I don't have bad days. But I know what freedom feels like. So I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you the journey that God has taken me on so I can relay the message. Because I ain't never been here before. Amen. That's the truth. We have to reposition our faith until we're holy. There's one God, so we have to stop being our own God. We have to stop being lazy. We need to pray and worship until we get what we're asking for. Because sometimes it doesn't come on the first attempt. That's the truth. Right? But you have to really believe what you're praying. It has to be sincere. And you have to believe that he can and he will. These are all words that God already gave the body. We just sitting on them. We don't have to sit. So I pray that this word deposits in your body like never before. But I did find this interesting fact about Caleb. This is my last thing, I promise. I wanted to know how Caleb wholly followed God. Like, what happened in Caleb's life? Like, because it don't tell all of that, right? So I started digging deep. Like I got to wrap this up the right way. And this is what I found. It says, Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord because he had a different spirit with him. Now, this is very important that we don't fail to look up and compare him to John 14, 16, and 17. In that chapter, it says, the Spirit is described as another counselor. That's why I said Joshua didn't do that, too. Joshua was just like, he was like, I'll do what you do. Yeah, I'm with it. But Caleb really meant it. And he had another counselor leading the way, and he followed. We have a counselor. He's leading the way. Follow. Amen. So let's go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.